Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or visit mensteaclinic.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It is hour number 4 of the G-Bag Nation. We're live at Hurtado Barbecue in Arlington. Very excited to be here and enjoy their delicious food. We'll be back at a Hurtado, the Arlington location, currently at the Mansfield spot. We'll be at Arlington on Saturday for Fan Bowl 2024, and everybody is invited to join us. Broadus is live in Oxnard at Cowboys training camp. He's watching practice as we speak, the joint practice between the Rams. Come on back in the 6 o'clock hour. Broadus is going to sit back down on the tennis courts and unload his scout's notebook from today's joint practice. Still very cool. It's right in the middle of it right now. Looks like Woolchuck is just all over Cowboys Twitter, dude, giving the latest retweets and whatnot.
Have you been able to find the DallasCowboys.com stream
I don't think it is streaming.
Did he ball sack us
I think he got ball sacked. I think he gave us some misinformation there. And maybe they just can't do it live. Maybe it will post after practice, and they'll have something there. But I did not see anything. I'm just looking at the clips from Calvin Watkins and Nick Harris and John Machota. It seems like the Cowboys offensive line has opened up quite a few running lanes. Rico Dowdle's had some nice runs. Zeke Elliott, we did have a Zeke fumble. But I'm impressed with some of these one-on-one drills. Mozzie's looking decent, man.
What?
He just had a nice one-on-one drill against Bo Limmer, rookie center from Arkansas. Now, power would give Limmer issues, dating back to his tape at Arkansas and at the Senior Bowl when he went up against Devondre Sweat from Texas. But the pad level looked really good here from Mozzie Smith. So Cowboys look to be really doing a great job in this scrimmage. The defense, the disguises, some of the clips that have been coming out. Jalen Tolbert had a nice shoestring grab that he was able to get. Came from some orbit motion pre-snap from Kevontae Turpin.
There you go.
So I'm excited. I'm excited to hear about some of the highs and the lows of this practice against the Rams.
Yeah, I think one of the things I'm looking forward to as well, we know how much that McVay likes to incorporate all the motions and the shifts, and we know how much trouble that gave the Cowboys defense there, especially the latter half of last season and into the postseason. They were dead balls last in terms of how many yards they gave up on plays where the offense was using motion. So how does the Zimmer defense, you're not going to get the best picture in the world, and I know they're not trying to go crazy with some of the schematics, but I'm sure you'll get plenty of fast motions at the snap, and how does the Cowboys defense look on those plays, because they were terrible towards the end of the Dan Quinn era defensively when it came to that stuff. So that would be nice to see that they're able to bottle up some of those plays right there. But we do have a couple of things here. Football's finest. You know, Woolchuck mentioned during the NFL News of the Day that there was an ESPN deep dive article on just the dysfunction in Philadelphia and really the relationship between head coach Nick Sirianni and quarterback Jalen Hurts for the entirety of last season. Even in the midst of their 10-1 start to the season, it was a very much so a tenuous situation there between the two of them, and then the way that sort of manifests itself throughout the rest of the locker room and the team. I mean, that was a very combustible situation the latter, 6 weeks or so of the season last year.
It seems malpractice by Howie Roseman, the GM to not fire Sirianni after reading that article.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you, especially a guy like Howie who's known for, hey, dude, Doug Peterson, you just won me a Super Bowl. Don't much care. See you later. Yeah. Hey, Carson Wentz, I know we drafted you high and we gave you the contract. We'll see you later. So it is a little bit surprising, and I think the seat is extremely hot for Sirianni here this year in Philadelphia. And so it's going to be super interesting to see. Maybe they've been able to squash a lot of this stuff. They bring in Kellen Moore. I don't know how much that's going to help things from an X's and O's standpoint, but congratulations to Jalen Hurts for making history, who for the first time ever they've had a quarterback in Philadelphia go 158 consecutive passes in training camp without an interception, breaking the previous record of 157 training camp completions or just attempts, I should say, without getting the ball intercepted. So that's just huge. And, you know, if you're an Eagles fan, you're just feeling incredible about that right now. Thank you, Elliot Shoreparts, for the useless stat of the day. But now we get to my favorite part of the Eagles deep dive here, the turmoil from last season. One of the things that the Eagles sucked at last year, and this is a lot on Sirianni and, of course, Hurts as well, but just not being able to do anything when it comes to the defending the blitz or being able to be productive offensively when teams were blitzing you. Well, no one's blitzed more over the last couple of years than the New York Giants, and we know that firsthand, playing them twice a year, as the Eagles also did. But Wink Martindale being their defensive coordinator, he's a blitz-happy coordinator. I mean, as blitz-happy as it gets. And basically what ended up happening was, with the playoffs approaching last year and the hunt for improvement unending, they write here about the Eagles, Jalen Hurts made an unusual move. He called former Giants defensive coordinator Wink Martindale, who had parted ways with New York following Week 18. So it's right before the playoffs. Wink Martindale's now been fired from the Giants. And so what happens? Well, Martindale says that he'd been doing this for 40 years, and it's the first time he's had an opposing quarterback call him up. He said, I thought it was pretty cool that the guy called. It shows you what kind of pro he really is. He's just looking at every angle that he can get better. The phone call was about a half an hour long, and they discussed weaknesses in Philadelphia's protection and how New York tried to game plan him. So now you're calling up the opposing coordinator who was just blitzing you like crazy and having great success doing it and saying, dude, what did you see? What are the weaknesses on our offense that allowed for you to have an incredible game plan against us? And so Martindale says, our game plan was very effective and Jalen knew it, and he just wanted to know why we did certain things that we did. Then he went to work on that. So that was pretty incredible to see. Martindale also said of the Eagles' offense down the stretch, they weren't committed to the run, they weren't committed to the quarterback runs, and they were trying to throw the ball a little bit too much on early downs, which put them behind the sticks. That's when defenses can really go to work. So, yeah. I mean, my goodness, dude, I've never seen anything like that, and I do think if you're Sirianni, you're like, wow, you're kind of going over my head because you're like, I'm your offensive coordinator, or, you know, offensive play designer, and you can't get the answers from me, so now you're outsourcing other coaches to get your X's and O's. And in the story, they write that Jalen Hurts has no respect for Nick Sirianni as it pertains to X's and O's.
Went rogue several times, as we talked about in the 3 o'clock hour, and I kind of like my quarterback going out on his own there to try and get as much information as possible. I don't really have an issue with that. I did think it was funny when Hurts was asked about this, got a little defensive, was like, when did this happen? When did this phone call take place? It's like, yeah, end of the season last year. So what's the relevance to it now? Well, I mean, the story just came out. It's people just now found out about it. You're going to have to ask questions. But, yeah, it seems like this is a combustible situation with him and the head coach.
I just see I see things his way more than I see things Sirianni's way. I think it's a frustrated player who's dealing with a coach that maybe he knows isn't really going to give him that much of an advantage, and maybe the front office doesn't know it's in his best interest. But, you know, in fairness to Sirianni and everybody else there, it's probably Roseman's bad for having a quarterback that whose success was so predicated on the run and that power run game that made the defense, you know, open up other angles for him. And you pay a guy like that, and then you don't insist on the running continuing. You can't be surprised at all. You know, the running is a huge part of it. It's just it is part of today's game. And if a player mind gets too old or too hurt, or too concerned about it, like, I'm sorry, you know, I got to be able to play with my grandkids when I'm 60. You're a football player. You know that this isn't the path that you chose. So at sure. at that point, you're telling everybody I have expired as a player willing to sacrifice my body to help a team win football games. And at the professional level, that means goodbye.
Yeah.
That does not mean, hey, here's top of the market money time.
Yeah, if one of your best assets is your ability to run the football at the quarterback position, and clearly yeah. a year ago with the injuries and how banged up Hurts got, the Eagles did make that something in the offseason. They're like, I don't know how much we really want to run you.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. I mean, I know that's something that the Colts have been asked about at training camp with Anthony Richardson. Are you going to try and limit the amount of runs for Richardson? And Shane Steichen has said no. That's something that he does really well. That's a big part of his game. We don't want to try and make him overthink anything. Go out there and play the position how you've always done it. That's why we drafted you.
Yeah.
That's why they've paid Jalen Hurts.
Defenses are feasting on the idea that quarterbacks are afraid to run. And if I'm a team, I know I can make the playoffs without running my quarterback. I will do that. But once we get there,
Better be ready
for us to unleash hell with this guy running it down your throats if you want to play that drop coverage
sure.
and try to get in the secondary so dang much.
Yeah, I mean, it's about as big of an advantage as you can have against any team is having a quarterback that can consistently run the football. And so I'm with you 100%. When it comes down to must-win situations, postseason and stuff like that, that's when you really want to see it get turned up. But you saw firsthand last year the Eagles' offense and Jalen Hurts look completely different when he's not consistently able to be the threat with his legs that he was the year that they went to the Super Bowl.
I mean, what do we get for our money? It's $250 million.
Yeah. And at that point, though, if you're Jalen Hurts, you're like, okay, now I got the money, so it really doesn't matter now. You can bench me, do whatever you want with me. That's my money, and I can be more concerned about other things. But also, I think these guys fool themselves into, okay, I'm a big money quarterback now. Now I'm really going to show you with my arm.
Got to protect myself.
That, I'm a top five quarterback, and so I'm going to show you that I can do all these things at the line of scrimmage, and I can drop back and throw it with the best of them. You get fooled. Teams do it all the time. They pay a quarterback big money, even though he's not really that guy. And now it's like, okay, well, now you got to go be that guy because we've paid you. It's like, no, that's not how it works. You don't just become something different now. Congratulations to Pat Mahomes Sr., celebrating 6 months of sobriety.
Oh, nice. Join the club.
Since the Super Bowl, man.
Didn't he get arrested, though, since the Super Bowl?
I think it was maybe right before the Super Bowl.
I thought there was another one that happened shortly
after. Either way, it must have been 6 months ago when it happened because my dude's been sober, and he's thanking God. He's thanking his wife. He's thanking his family, and he's feeling fantastic. So kudos to him. Big ups to Pat Mahomes.
I mean, not everybody's got to stop drinking, but some people do, and then when they get in that sober life, they're like, holy crap, this is so much better.
Okay, so it was an invalid license he got arrested for back in June.
Okay, so he was probably sober, you know, and just cruising around, doing a little sober speeding, and then, oh no.
Oopsies, invalid license.
Forgot about that. Okay, now we also have, my goodness, we know what the Clippers are doing with their new arena in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
and
pretty badass.
Pretty high tech. They're thinking of all these different things. They have the wall section, which is supposed to be like for the most diehard of diehard Clippers fans, make it like a student section kind of vibe. Well, the Titans, they're building a new stadium in Tennessee. And this thing's going to be legit. Like, the renderings look unbelievable. They apparently have, we talked about this a while back, but they're going to have like the biggest bar in America or something at this particular stadium.
Let's
or maybe it's like outdoor bar or something that qualifies it, but it's going to be a massive, ridiculous bar and just a really cool stadium. But one of the things that they're adding, launching a new dedicated fan section in the future stadium called the Mosh Pit.
Nice.
Those are two of my least favorite words in all of the world when
Sounds
you put them
terrifying.
Together. Like, when you start stacking up, like, we should do a top 10 list, well, Chuck, of, like, the top 10 places you'd never want to find yourself. Mosh Pit's probably my Mount Rushmore. I mean, if we're being honest with ourselves, why would I want to dance around and just get, like, punched and stuff? It just seems ridiculous.
Shoved, kicked,
and it's like, no, everything's cool here. Like, that was legal. It's like, you can get blindsided. You get cheap shotted.
Yeah.
You know, this is where schmoes go to be like, oh, I could just throw some random punches and nobody can tell me I'm wrong. It's crazy.
And a lot of those lunatics, they like the pain.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're like, I'll elbow you in the face and you shove me in the ground and this is going to be so rock and roll, brother.
Yeah.
You know?
You're going to love this. I'm going to punch you right in your nose.
And hell yeah,
headbutt me back. It's going to be sick.
You taste the blood.
Now, if you are one of these fans that enters the mosh pit, It's not just for anybody. Fans must submit videos to apply. I guess you have to convey through video how much of a diehard Titans fan you are.
Some good crowd surfing videos.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder, I don't know what type of settings they want to see you in, but they want to know that you you live and die with the Titans of Tennessee. You would get access to seats by what they're calling a live stage. So now I'm wondering, like, are we having some sort of sideshow going on during the game? Do we have, like, a live performance stage that's taking place in the Music City or whatever? Are
Could
we now
be.
Allowing for, like, Morgan Wallen can be playing on the side stage while Will Levis is throwing interceptions or something on the field?
Maybe at the halftime, you know, or commercial breaks? Like,
commercial
you got three
breaks.
And a half minutes. Let's have a hit.
Let's take advantage.
Yeah.
With our most dedicated Mosh Pit fans that live and die by the Titans of Tennessee.
It is kind of a beating being at football games during long TV timeouts. You know,
yeah.
You're just
all
sitting there like everybody's kind of quiet. Yeah, if you could fire up a local act, that'd be great.
Yeah, so you'll have access to those seats by the live stage, dedicated invitations to specific events, complimentary annual merch, and exclusive chance to buy specially priced PSLs. So Titans fans, I'm sure they're just dialing up all the videos to submit and try and be as, tighten up as you could possibly be. Jim Harbaugh has been suspended for an entire year if he ever returns to college football for lying and cheating. This is a separate punishment from the sign-stealing extravaganza, but he has been – it's been laid down on him. Jim,
during COVID.
If you want to get back – wasn't this the cheeseburger?
Yeah, it probably was. I mean, it was like during COVID, I guess he was breaking their rules they had in place for how much contact you can have with recruits, and Jim just said, bleep this. But, again, this is just the NCAA flexing, and who really gives a damn? I don't think Jim does at all.
No, he does not, because he's probably never going back to college football. But if he does, the NCAA says you'll be serving a one-year suspension.
Gosh, dang it.
Is that justified, you think?
I don't think so,
For
no.
a cheeseburger? Absolutely not. The NCAA, there's nothing that the NCAA's ever done that I would consider justified.
Any suspension they give, I'm like, go bleep yourself.
Wasn't there kind of a Spygate deal going on as well?
Yeah, this is separate to that, though.
Yeah, so you had the sign-stealing stuff. He's apparently, like, he hasn't been implicated at all.
So they can't prove that one, so they're hitting him hard with this one?
Exactly. Yeah. So because he bought a cheeseburger for a recruit, now all of a sudden, this was pre-NIL, so now it was a huge deal. Because the way the NCAA was regulating things.
Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
There it is in the books, an edition of The Finest. We're watching Olympic greats competing on TV. What a job this afternoon by Team USA getting through Serbia and advancing to the final. But coming up next, we'll take a look at the Expressway, everything that's been developing throughout your broadcast day. The latest from Cowboys training camp brought us. It's going to have takeaways coming up at 6 o'clock. We're live at Hurtado in Mansfield. You want some of the best barbecue in the entire world? It's waiting for you. And, of course, we're going to be at Hurtado Arlington for Fan Bowl 2024 coming up on Saturday. All right, we are back with the Expressway, including a major personnel announcement from one of your favorites up here at 105.3 The Fan, and we're back with...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Fat in the Nation. Welcome back, G-Back Nation. We are live at Hurtado in Mansfield. Our first time here. It's been fantastic. We still have over an hour and a half of content to go. Brian Broaddus is watching the last 30-plus minutes of Cowboys joint practice against the Rams, and he'll be back in the 6 o'clock hour to file a full report on all the pertinent things that happened in this joint practice there for you. Okay, let's hit the expressway, though. We go commercial-free to the top. LA Live's coming up in about 15 minutes. Segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. And the segment is presented by the on-time experts. Yeah, I got the email earlier this afternoon. Saw Reggie's tweet. Said he'd been reminiscing a bunch recently, and he continually comes back to the many people who have been gracious and loving and supportive and kind, the coworkers and colleagues of the market. And, of course, the listeners and friends, as Reggie Atatula announcing, he will be joining the midday show at AM 610 in Houston. So congratulations to him, a well-deserved honor, and thank him for all the great years of service here to the squad at 105 through the Fan.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's really the dream. I mean, me and Walchuk, we were fortunate enough to grow up here and get to do what we love here in our hometown, and now that's the same opportunity that Reggie's been afforded. So I couldn't be more happy for him. What a great opportunity in a place that he's very familiar with. He's going to thrive. He's going to dominate. And I cannot wait for Dallas versus Houston conversations, bringing him on and just tearing him up.
Nice.
You know, just absolutely just beating him down. When it's Houston week coming up in what, November? Cowboys versus Texans?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I think that's gonna be tough.
I'm going to be calling into his show and just like, I'm going to be doing all sorts of, he's not even going to know it's me, but
he's
I'm
doing
just,
bits,
it's like, there's going to be
radio.
Enemy territory. Welcome.
It's going to be hard for him to turn that Maverick fan off, I think, though. I mean, he did such great work covering the Mavs over the course of the finals. I mean, look, Houston's got themselves a nice up-and-coming team, but got my start, I think, literally the week after Reg with 105 through the Fan. We got hired right about the same time, so back when we were still doing overnights before they moved to automation, he trained me on doing some overnight stuff. So to be able to grow with him here, and now seeing him get to have that opportunity, it's long overdue, and we're really, really pumped for Reg.
You guys were just showers when you guys got to the station, and then
growers
you
now.
Guys have become growers. And the amount of time that we've spent in the Pim Cup with him doing Rangers games
and stuff,
pulling highlights and all sorts of fun conversations about where we wanted to take our careers, and now I know he's right where he wants to be. It's awesome.
That evening show legacy continues. You know, it started really with Arnie Spanier, and then, you know, the G-Bag Nation with myself and Lucius and C.A. and Jeff and everybody, and then the KMC Masterpiece, and then you guys, and now the Get Right, on to bigger and better things. It is an absolute conduit. It's a wormhole to greatness, that evening show, and I would predict the same for Blake Elliott.
And Alec Medford,
future.
Yes, the Alec young guns, Medford. Man. I mean, Medford's certainly up on the pipeline.
Alrighty. Moments after he finished in third place during the 200-meter Olympic final, American sprinter Noah Lyles told reporters he ran the race with COVID after having been diagnosed with the illness 2 days earlier. Quote, I tested positive around 5 a.m. Tuesday morning. I woke up in the middle of the night just feeling really chilly and aching and a sore throat. And those were the kind of the symptoms I've always had right before getting COVID. And I was just like, I need to test this one. So he had it. And I can't imagine, you know, one of the toughest
upper respiratory illnesses was a benefit there in the 200, but he still managed to get the bronze.
No, still got the bronze. I'm still trying to ponder to myself what's more impressive, a no-COVID gold or a having COVID bronze. Still very, very impressive. I guess the way this played out was just a mere hours after he was at the microphone guaranteeing victories in a way that anybody would if you were already a gold medal runner and the fastest man in the world from just a few days prior with the 100 meter. He's feeling fantastic. And then you wake up in the middle of the night, you close your eyes a few hours later, and then you wake up and you're feeling terrible. You're like, oh, no. What, did I give myself the kiss of death?
Yeah,
that, I mean, sometimes
with those
guarantees,
I mean, that 200 meter was his best event. I mean, he was a reigning champ at that, so he had to have been feeling crotch first. This was a bummer for him.
Yeah,
but he still placed,
and he's still a young man, so he'll maybe get another opportunity at redemption. You know, next go around. I thought earlier today I might have been in the early stages of COVID, to be honest with you. About 45 minutes before the show started, suddenly I got this horrible headache, and I couldn't look at my computer screen. It just looked all blurry. I couldn't even look at my phone. My assistant coach, actually, a buddy of mine, had COVID this past weekend. So I'm starting to do the math like, okay,
oh, no.
I saw him on Saturday. It's Thursday. That's about like the waiting period. So I was like texting him. I was like, what was the first signs that you got the dang COVID? And it just didn't match up. So I figured it was just a bad headache, but I'm through it now. But that was like one of the weirdest headaches and early parts of broadcasting throughout a show that I've ever been involved in. So I'm feeling very appreciative that I feel much better now. And hopefully Noah Lyles will feel better in the not-too-distant future as well.
Bro, that was feats of strength right there. I mean, watching
you. I was worried about you. I was like, if you need to go lay down, I mean.
If it had gotten a little bit worse, I was out of here. Like, but it just stayed like on a 7 out of 10 bad. But I had to broadcast a lot of those segments with my eyes closed legit. Like, I couldn't stand the pain of having my eyes open and looking at computer screens that were blurry. I was like, what the crap? Am I going blind?
Yeah,
is this just a horrible headache? I thought it was probably migraine. I used to have migraines as a kid.
Me too, bro.
But it never advanced to the full, like, totally debilitating, you got to go lay down in a dark room for 5 hours type of migraine.
Okay.
It was just like in the early stages of that. And then the next thing I know, I felt like maybe it was dissipating about 30 minutes ago. And now I'm pretty good to go. I'm like a 2 out of 10 right now in the headache scale.
Man, I thought you were just vibing when I walked in here and you had your sunglasses on inside. I was like, okay, my boy Dawson's ready to go.
Like, when you're cool, the sun is always shining.
What is going on? Okay, tragedy struck at a Texas lake. Did you guys see the story?
Dude, I did see this. We have had a couple of texters texting, hey, have you guys talked about this? Just, yeah, we haven't. We saved it for right now.
Lazar Dukic. A competitor in the CrossFit Games
of Serbia
died shortly before crossing the finish line. He went underwater. CrossFit CEO Don Fall saying in a press conference, deeply saddened by the death of one of their athletes. This was at Marine Creek Lake in Lake Worth, and they were working with authorities on the investigation into the death. The Tarrant County Medical Examiner's Office, the 28-year-old says, Lazar Dukic of Serbia, medical examiner says they have not listed a cause of death yet. An official with the Fort Worth Fire Department says they got called out around 8 a.m. to assist police because there was a participant in the water that was down and had not been seen in some point in time. It's got to be rare that basically a professional competitive swimmer, you know, goes under and does not surface like this. But you could imagine approaching the finish line, you're going all out. You know, maybe your cardio is getting to that stage where your breathing's a little bit unpredictable.
Right.
You know, but you're dogging it out like that guy in the 400, you know, that caught those three dudes yesterday.
Yes.
Like, technique is breaking down and you're in pure exhaustion, but you're like, crap, but I'm going for it.
Right.
That would be my theory, you know, and then you choke, like you have an unpredictable breath maybe as you're trying to catch a quick breath out of water that goes down the wrong pipe. And, you know, you're too exhausted to sort of...
To save yourself.
Tread water.
Right.
Even.
And you just don't have it, man.
And
That's so sad.
And they say, like they said, for an event like this, we have a fully documented safety plan. He says, as you know, we had safety personnel on site throughout the event. But, I mean, I don't know. Something like this can obviously happen extremely quick. But I don't know what the safety plan – I mean, what is the safety plan then if somebody's able to drown like that. I mean,
yeah. I mean, close to the finish line as well. So you would imagine there's a lot of observers.
Hey, you've got to have some eyes on him to be able to go and help. I mean, this
maybe you update your rules and now you got like a spotter for every person on the course constantly.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's crazy because, I mean, the CrossFit Games identify the most conditioned, durable, fit athletes in the entire world.
Right.
You know, and to have it happen like this, you know, to me shows that it could happen to anybody. Dukic's biography on the CrossFit website says he was the third-ranked CrossFit athlete in Serbia, 88th ranked worldwide, and passed a little bit too early, no doubt, just 28 years old.
People are texting in that they live by the lake and there's a ton of gators in there. I think we can.
I don't think it was a gator attack.
I think that's something we can. I think we could rule it out.
They probably would have announced, you know, gator bites when they discovered his body about an hour after he went under. Okay, Jalen Tolbert had some big plays against the Rams. That's what I'm seeing. This is exciting. Everybody can see it now. If you want to jump onto Cowboys Twitter and search for Jalen Tolbert, you're going to see him making a shoestring catch. Mm-hmm. You're going to see him getting open in between levels. This, I think, is a legit number two receiver, guys. I don't think this is a, hey, Jalen Tolbert's going to do a decent job of being a respectable third receiver out there. This is a guy that's going to challenge Brandon Cooks for the second best receiver.
That'd be awesome.
Pure wide receiver on the team.
Cooks is out here crushing it as well. Him and Dak have connected on a couple of touchdowns. But I love this from Jalen Tolbert. And the thing is, it's really the route running and the separation he's being able to create. Like, that was something Michael Gallup did not do at all last year, was be able to create any type of separation. Now you got Jalen Tolbert, who's showing that not just against your own DBs in practice, but against the Rams here in a joint practice. This is the real deal. This isn't just a hype-up Jalen Tolbert season. This dude has made some serious, serious strides to improve his game. And I'm loving what we're seeing from the offensive line. Now, granted, I mean, these are just clips. Brian's there. He's going to give us, you know, every single play. He's out there scouting it and charting it. But the offensive line looks like they have been able to create some running rooms for Rico Dowdle and Ezekiel Elliott today, which is exciting.
And what is that configuration right now on the line?
It looked like it was. It's a mixture of Adoga, mostly at left tackle. You did have Hoffman at center. Tyler Smith is just a model of consistency. Steele on the right side. And then, you know, talking about Beebe, I think he's been rotating in there. I haven't seen a lot of Guyton, though. I know he was good to go, but I haven't seen a ton of him in any of these clips that are coming out from the Machodas and the Nick Harris's.
What would you say is Cooper Beebe's best position, the rookie out of Kansas State drafted?
Left guard. Left guard's the one that he played for the last 2 years at Kansas State. So I think you'd feel really, really comfortable for him at either of the guard spots. I think that's a natural spot for him. But, The Morning News had another article about him today. Like, I don't think they've ruled him out of the center battle. I do think he's a much stronger player than Brock Hoffman is, but there's no question right now, Hoffman, when it comes to just playing the center position, is ahead of Cooper Beebe.
Is he also that athlete that can get you to the second level and cut the defense in half like Travis Frederick could?
I think he can be. Like, maybe. I've seen him get to the second level. He's not quite as smooth as a Jason Kelce would have been, or maybe even a Travis Frederick or a Biotish, but he's able to get there. I mean, people knocked him for his athleticism coming out, but he was able to get to the second level consistently.
Josh Allen's going to play in the Bills preseason opener, planning to play him and the rest of their starters in Saturday's opener against the Bears. Head coach Sean McDermott says it's important to get players ramped up and ready to go for the season. Are the Cowboys missing an opportunity here or doing it right with sitting the majority of their starters?
I think with Dak, it's fine. Like, Dak didn't play at all last year. Came out and had his best season. So, I mean, Zeke, you don't need to play at all. I don't think Brandon Cooks is a guy you need to play. But continuity is important. You're breaking in possibly two new offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. So outside of Zach Martin, I think maybe you do want to see the rest of your starting offensive line out there.
Yeah, I think that's maybe the only place that it really matters, is because of how, you know, stunted offensive lineman development is.
Yeah.
And how low the level of play is and how important the coordination between those five guys is. You know, but even then, if I get a guy like Zach Martin, you're 3-4 years in and I know for sure you can do your job well, I'd much rather have the certainty that we know you're not going to get hurt. Historically bad season for the White Sox. They have decided to fire their manager, moved on from Pedro Grifol. As we all recognize, our team's performance this season has been disappointing on many levels. They just snapped a 21-game losing streak. Grady Sizemore is going to act as interim manager.
Gosh.
And it looks like a front-runner has emerged in the search for a new U.S. men's national team head coach. Per The Athletic, the top target for the gig is Mauricio Pochettino, the former manager for Tottenham, Chelsea, and Paris Saint-Germain. Head coach Greg Berhalter fired in July after a poor showing in the Copa America. And I think this is what you want. You know, this is the at least the very, very near the top level of soccer coaches around the world. And right guy or not, it shows an absolute commitment to doing whatever it takes and spending whatever kind of resources you need in order to, you know, get the kind of guys in here that can take this team to the next level. I'm convinced what they need is a much more conservative approach instead of trying to be a great, you know, European ball control team or a South American skill team. Let's just do what historically we've done best, which is play defense and counterattack. I think Italy's the model. How about the job by Steph Curry today? Was this the greatest Team USA single performance we've ever seen? Ooh. 36 points for Steph, 8 rebounds, 2 assists. He's 9 of 14 from 3. Eye of the Tiger the entire way. 95-91, the United States beat Serbia in the most memorable game we've had for Team USA since the Spain final in 2008. When Rudy Fernandez dunked on Dwight Howard and the Gasol brothers were given, you know, you feelings that maybe the USA was going to lose. Serbia led by 13 going to the fourth. I thought the USA should have gone to Steph Curry even more. If I was the head coach of that team, he'd have had 50 tonight because I would have not let anybody else shoot.
Agreed, dude. He was on another level. And, yeah, I mean, it probably – when you consider the stakes of this game being the bronze medal game, trying to advance to the final round, and then just how tight of a game it was, having to claw back and hit big shots. Like, you've seen, there's been some games, like Carmelo has had incredible games throughout his Olympic time, where I think there was a game where he was like 10 of 12 from behind the arc, and he had almost 40 points, but it was in a blowout win versus Nigeria, like a different situation. When you consider
Kobe
the stakes,
against Spain in the final was really, really good. He had a 20-plus point game.
That's a great point. Kobe versus Spain. I mean, Kobe had a great one versus Australia as well, where he dominated. Durant's had some moments. But, I mean, in terms of super high stakes, tight game, having to come back, and, I mean, down 13 in the fourth quarter, it's about as good as it gets there from Steph.
Yeah, you're right. Melo has the all-time record still with 37, and they will face Victor Wembanyama and France in the final. They beat Germany 73-69 in the first of the two semis. So, yeah, that's going to be outstanding. Wembanyama said, in our national team, we talk about blood. We're willing to spill blood on the court, so it's no big deal. He did play with blood on his face.
If he dies, he dies.
He dies. Dude, I just saw something here. USA playing on Saturday. That date is August 10th, 2024. That is 8-10-24. Which are
no way
the Mamba
and his international number,
that's
special, man.
Good lord,
because Kobe wore 10.
That gives me goosebumps.
Yeah, I know. Gosh, that's crazy.
So, that's a surefire
do it for Kobe,
a USA gold medal as I've ever heard.
I think that might be the most uplifting transition we've ever had to LA.
That's crazy,
live.
Yes,
and without further ado, in the Pimp Cup, here's Lucius.
Here I am,
hey, buddy.
Yeah, ball fresh off the bench. Cold, but still got to hit these shots, you dig? Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, all right, let's get into it right after the great Rick James.
All right, you squares, it's time you smoke. Fire up this phone. It'll make you dance with some of everything.
Everybody get high.
It's ladies' night.
I love chicks.
Hey.
Every country, nation, India to America. I love all of you. You know what I'm saying?
Would you say it's an obsession? You have an obsession with women?
Yeah, because the more faith you have in God, the more you love chicks. The more you have, your love for women increases. That's the truth. But I've got so much faith that I love chicks so much.
Are you married, sir?
At the moment, the marriage thing, I don't want to talk about that. No comment in it, because You know what I'm saying? No comment, no comment.
My man. All over the place right there. Hey, this is LA Live for Thursday, August 8th, 2024. Kobe!
So cool.
It's a Thirsty Thursday, Ladies Night Edition here in LA Live, which is sponsored by Kissable Dental. And then no bill guarantee. Book online at kissabledental.com. Your kissable journey starts today. Eric Chiafalo.
Yes, sir.
Earlier, you talked about the French Olympic runner that proposed to her boyfriend while breaking a record in the steeplechase.
Yeah.
A lot of conversations online about this lady getting on one knee and, you know, asking for that man's hand in marriage. But did you see the other Olympic proposal?
No, I did not.
Yes, a lot of conversation.
Oh, the soccer? Was it soccer?
Not the soccer. No, there was a Chinese badminton player.
Oh.
Proposed to his girlfriend, another Chinese badminton player, she is. He proposed to her right after she won the gold medal. Right after
the sexy girlfriend.
Oh, she won, and then he stole her shine.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, he's getting ate up online, getting drug all through the social medias for stealing her spotlight. In fact, they say for stealing spotlight from women.
Oh, what a savage.
They had to make it about him, he said.
Wow. Nice job. Turnabout's fair play, sir.
I mean, man, I feel like the engagement and the wedding stuff is still always about her, right?
Yeah, everything's about her.
It's still about her.
Yeah.
I don't know. People are trying to do too much here.
Yeah.
This is a big moment for her. I don't think he's trying to make it about him personally. What better moment to do that? You just won gold. It's the greatest moment of your life. Now I'm also getting engaged. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know that I agree with this.
I don't know. It's like today is already going to be a very special, unforgettable day for her. Should this day just be that gold medal day, and then there's a separate amazing day that she also gets to appreciate in the calendar?
Absolutely. But I don't think that he was going out of his way to try and make that. I mean, maybe the guy is just a bleep hole. If we get to know him, we'll be like, yeah.
But we don't assume
he definitely was. But no.
We can't assume.
Just assuming he really loves this woman, I still think you're making it about her.
Like, if she didn't win gold, would he have still proposed, or was that what this whole thing was hinging on? You know,
if you win gold, otherwise we're waiting.
Otherwise,
this will be like when we get back home. That's a good question.
That's good stuff right there. Yeah, great conversation. Yeah, he's getting beat up online about it. So I don't know. Anyway, G-Bag.
Maybe she liked it. We don't know.
Yeah. She said she was shocked by it and everything, and then she posted the ring, and she's crying and. She looks happy, but
probably overwhelming for her.
If she's happy, who the hell else is everyone else to interject, right?
Hey, you know, everybody's got their damn opinions.
Yep, that's true.
That's right.
Everybody's got their damn opinions, and they think they're right. G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. You see anything floating out there, man, don't be afraid to hit me up. And do not wait until 2:31 on G-Bag of the Day to say, oh, man, you didn't play this. You didn't play that. You didn't send it to me. Play, I'm looking for you. Send it to me at Lucky Lucius P on social media, Lucius Alexander on Facebook, or you can follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. A winner right here is quarterback Jameis Winston. Spitting some bars about the Browns starting quarterback Deshaun Watson.
I think that's one of the things that a lot of people forget. When you can go out, you can see practice, you can knick-knack this, that, paddywhack, give a dog a bone. Deshaun Watson is going to turn it on. He always going to find a way to shine when the lights come on. Man, I just rhymed. Oh my, can I leave off that one? I know that one's going to hit.
Wow. That's legendary. He continues to be as dominant as the microphone. He's actually, I think, he might be getting better. Like
I think he is.
Is he just now entering his prime?
We're about to be into Jameis season here.
My gosh, dude. That was fantastic. You can tell he surprised himself. He was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize how poetic this was.
I'm so damn talented. You know, look at me.
Just
I love Jameis.
Stumbling into greatness.
Speaking of world records, and we have a new Guinness Book of World Record. We got a Nigerian man. He has set a new world record for the longest duration of twerking.
No. I didn't know that we were keeping tabs on this.
Come on, fam. I didn't know either. The man accomplished this feat by twerking for 3 hours and 30 minutes.
What?
Yeah, bro. So you telling me that somebody from the Guinness Book of World Records was sitting out there watching this man twerk for 3 hours and 30 minutes?
You got it, man. Just keep going.
Yeah, you're killing it, fam.
You're crushing it.
What is that, a wiggle right there? Woo! Put something a little extra in that joint, man.
Good shape right there. Cardio athlete.
Yeah, bro. 3 hours and 30 minutes of man twerking. That's crazy.
Wow.
That is wild. And he set a world record of twerking. That man is wild.
This isn't even about the quality of the twerk. This is just the duration of it. So any one of us, if we just cared enough, this is like the easiest world record in the world to break.
If you just care enough. You can twerk?
Well, I mean, I guess.
I can twerk.
I can't.
You got a bad back.
I can't be for sure that I. No, that's a good point.
There's no way you're making it that long.
For 3 hours?
Yeah, that's a long time.
I guess I didn't consider how much stamina is really needed for something like that. That's 3 hours of exercise.
Yeah, like I bet after 10 minutes, you're going to be pretty tired.
Yeah.
And there's some talent to it. I take back everything I said. You know, I think there's talent to it. Like, can you roll your tongue? Can you touch your tongue to your nose? Do your hips work in a twerking fashion?
Yeah. What type of unique nuance do you bring to the twerking game that sets you apart from the next guy?
Yeah, you got to have that. But your lower back situation's got to be real strong to make that pop twerk. You got to make it pop like that.
That's where I lose.
Or you look ridiculous.
Yeah.
Don't stop, please.
Yeah. Don't stop. Get it. His motivation for attempting this record was personal, he said, as he aimed to step up his comfort zone and raise awareness for individuals worldwide who are struggling with depression. So his cheeks were for you if you're dealing with things in life right now, man. He was twerking for you. What a wild guy.
Definitely cheered up some people.
That's my guy.
Yeah, whoever was watching it with his tablet out.
With his back, he's got ours.
Yeah. Let's see what else we got for you boys. Did y'all see the New Jersey man that ate 10 edibles, then tried to open the door on an American Airlines flight?
Was that like coming to Dallas?
Yes.
That flight?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. It was on Seattle to Dallas. It landed in Salt Lake City, where the man was arrested. Apparently, he proposed to a flight attendant, propositioned a flight attendant, which I understand, but you just got to keep it to yourself, bro.
You got to keep it to yourself. I mean, some of those flight attendants are.
Come on, man. Them little blue suits with the blue tights they be wearing.
Yeah, dude. Even the ladies look good.
Man, that Frontier flight on our way home, they were all trying to get the pilot of that flight. I think he was new. And they were that was the gossip that was going on with the flight. Because we were right in the front row.
You know?
So I was able to hear a lot of what was going on. And they were all gossiping. Like, God, he's so hot. He's so fine.
Oh, really? Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. Them little layovers. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, we got to fly to Salt Lake and stay there for 6 hours and fly back.
Gosh darn it.
Yeah. Got any plans?
Guess we can bunk together.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently he propositioned the flight attendant. She turned him down, and that's what triggered the man. 26-year-old Eric Nichols was arrested after refusing to stay seated, asking the flight attendant for vaping, and trying to open the plane's door multiple times.
My goodness.
10 edibles, this man said he took.
That's way too
much. Yeah, you don't want to double up or triple up on your dosage there in a flying situation. I'd say cut it in half.
Jeez.
Just to be safe.
The paranoia must have been on a million.
It'll destroy you.
Yeah, he was loopy. Here's a little clip of him.
We're going to get you the help you need.
You want
the
ow! Cup? My shoulder!
You want that cup of coffee?
No.
Okay. We're going to help you get some.
How do I do it now?
Slow, just walk as fast as you can go.
There we go.
You say potato, I say potato. Donald Trump 2024, or Joe Biden, I don't mind.
I don't mind.
Eric Nicholas Capito. It's out, man. Let's go!
Where'd that flight originate out of?
Seattle.
Mm-hmm. He was coming to the Big D, though.
It's a wild place, dude. Yeah.
Seattle's a wild place. I believe it.
Seattle and Portland, dude.
Yeah, I totally believe you.
Last time I flew out of Portland, there was this guy on the plane. They kept moving him around because whoever he would sit next to, within 5 minutes, they were like, ma'am, I need to, just because he was bizarre, like Joker type energy. You know, the good one, Heath Ledger, right?
Yeah,
just like, holy crap, this guy is terrifying. He's not threatening me. Yeah. He's just smiling at me and asking me questions, and I need to get out of here now.
Yeah, I don't like the look on his face, man.
It's a great way to get your own row, we found out that day.
LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a Thirsty Thursday. Y'all see that photo of Marcus Jordan, son of Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
I just saw it actually a little bit of, like an hour ago.
Is he still with Larsa Pippen?
No.
Sounds like he's with he's I think he's into white girl now.
Yeah,
popular guy.
He's been hanging out with Griselda.
Griselda.
He's got a plug.
Yeah,
he's seen snorting a white powder. Nobody really kind of knows what the white powder is while he's vibing out poolside in the south of France, catching a vibe. Not sure if it's BC powder or that party powder. People calling his father Jump Man, and they're calling him Bump Man.
Bump Man.
Yeah. Speaking of coke, can someone tell Brandon Jacobs, former running back for the Giants, to shut all the way up? Don't trust the media with your personal information, bro.
Yes, dude. This in high school?
Come on. This is for family and close friends chilling at your house when you're talking to your buddies. This is not for microphones, bro. The media is not your friend. Brandon Jacobs said he did a line of cocaine before a high school football game. Mm. And he said he balled out. Listen to this.
He did a line of cocaine before a game in high school.
Dude, what?
Absolutely.
Wait a minute.
It was one of my homeboys that graduated the year before me. I was walking into the weight room. He said, hey, guess what I got? What you got? I got that white girl. I'm like, oh, for real? You want to try? I'm like, yeah. You try it.
I'm a dibbling dabber.
Yeah. What game was it? What was it?
Yeah.
Right.
What
was the game?
338, four touchdowns. Killed it. I destroyed it. It was easy. I felt like I was the only one out there.
Nah,
I ain't never did it again.
Nah, man.
I should have did it again.
It's risky business, but 338.
Yeah. 4TD, yeah.
My man said
I was on the first half, too.
I'm sorry.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. It's crazy to me as a guy that grew up in the midst of the 80s in the cocaine and the crack epidemic and how prevalent it was in the media. Like, it wasn't something that the cocaine users were talking about doing my entire life until very recently. And now it's like, hey, let's joke about it, everybody. You know, like we're back in the 70s or something.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, like he got.
You know what I'm talking about, Lucius?
Like he's got the little necklace with the spoon on it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god! It looks like a little.
Yeah, they're going into studio.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. They're in New York now, hanging out. Everybody's talking about like it's no big deal again.
It's pretty wild. Yeah.
You do realize? Yeah. ruins lives.
Those poor kids, man. I want to hear the alternate perspective from those kids that are like, okay, I had to try and tackle him. That
yes,
I
mean,
this is what my experience was like.
Like any day trying to tackle him would be awful, but that day, no.
You're
thank
just being
you.
Drugged by his face mask 70 yards every time he touches the ball.
Gosh.
Well, I bet his little mouth was dry as hell, though. I'm pretty sure. He had that little white stuff building up on the side of his lips, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, it was.
Water break.
Yeah, water break. Hey, $1 million worth of cocaine washed up on the Florida Keys beach because of that Hurricane Debbie.
Oh,
damn, Deb.
Man.
Yeah.
We're getting all kinds of cocaine being found out in the ocean now. We have some bad drug dumps right now.
Yeah, 25 packages of cocaine weighing about 70 pounds. Street value $1 million. What are you doing if you find it?
I think you probably just don't touch it. Because if you do, whoever that is going to find out eventually, and you're going to be dead.
I would think that would be the most likely play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be even if I did take it and try and sell it, I'd be living paranoid after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if you knew somebody, like a close friend or family member that knew what to do with it, you know, but I'd have to like try to find somebody to offload this to, and in that process, I'd probably end up tipping off the cartel. It'd be the last thing I did.
Yeah, you got to really, really trust somebody that says they can sell that cocaine for you. Really trust. Because once you tell them, hey, man, I've got 25 packages of cocaine, they'd be like, oh, where do you have 25 packages of cocaine? And that's about it for you. Yeah. They're going to chop your head
and
off
you're
for
gonna
taking
be
cocaine.
Is it a real thing where you're like infringing on somebody's business too? Like that's going to be enough to put an impact on the market.
If you
the main
if you,
guy in town, yeah.
If you even get to that point, you are going to get your head chopped off just saying you have that much cocaine and you're trying to move it.
Yeah.
That person's going to be like,
Sounds
"Oh,
like
I'm
it.
Just going to steal it from you and kill you and now I have $1 million worth of cocaine. I don't need you in here anymore." So you got to really trust somebody. But if I did
a lot of work
cocaine,
for a mil.
If I did cocaine, I'll take me a good handful of that and walk off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, if you were a user,
head to the strip club,
get
to
take all them coverage. Yeah. Got a good 6 month supply here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was down with it. It's in my backpack. Yeah.
Well, right. We can be real quiet about this.
Exactly.
Nobody knows.
Yeah. Sea salt. All right, Lord willing, the creek don't rise. I got to get out of here. That's my time. Y'all be careful driving in these streets. Holla.
Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Back Nation here on 105 through the Fan live from Hurtado in Mansfield. Boy, if you're anywhere close and you want the best barbecue, you got to check out Hurtado in one of their three locations, Fort Worth and Arlington as well. Fan Bowl 2024 going to be Saturday at the Arlington location. We want to see you there. Okay, coming up next. A little proper round tripper here, Wolchuk. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming we're probably going to get hijacked on this segment. Brian Broaddus going to jump in here and just be like, guys, this is what we saw in practice.
Guys, Flournoy, it's practice.
Oh, my goodness. Did you know he made a great catch today? But I'm excited to hear all about that. If we have time for Around the Bases, we'll talk Little Poppy, a manager getting sacked, and some home run history.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.